Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations.
Hello and welcome to Clustered Conversations. This is Josh.
And I'm Bob.
And we've got a very interesting episode podcast for you today. Today, we have our illustrious leader. We have Liran, our CEO at Weka, here with us. Liran, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. And by the way, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I think it was a great idea to start Weka podcast.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate that.
Awesome. We enjoy the product so much that we wanted to talk about it all the time, not during our day jobs.
True facts.
Yep.
Although this kind of is part of our day job, but
sort of. It's a little extra. All right. So Liran, I mean, you've been here since the very, very beginning. This is, you know, Weka is your brainchild along with a couple other guys who are also here. So can you give us a little bit of background history of who you are, where you came from, you know, and how you ended up at Weka?
Yeah, so Weka is actually our second storage company. The previous one was XAV Storage. We started that, which is like a horrifyingly dating fact, well over 20 years ago in the early 2000s. Back then, what we're doing with XAV, we're building the first tier one block storage software only company. We're very proud of the fact that we're using only off-the-shelf hardware. To make a very long story short, IBM ended up acquiring us in end of 07. At the beginning, we were the IBM XAV storage. Then we became Spectrum Accelerate at some point. So if you've been buying, folks have been buying IBM high-end block storage. It's been our previous company. Most of us left IBM in 2011 after we've had a lot of great experience. You know, we started the XAV at the very high end of the market. All of Wall Street bought like within a year. Then we were very successful going down market. But we left IBM in 2011. Basically, we felt a lot of even contempt to the overall storage market, and we said we'd never, ever want to do it again. So we basically took an oath and said, not storage. And a lot of us went and we did some B2C and some other companies. And the reason when we left IBM, we said we didn't want to do storage was twofold. One, even though we were a software-only engineering, the delivery was a very proprietary rack-level product at XAV, but XAV wasn't unique. Actually, all of the legacy storage vendors and pretty much all of the current storage vendors that aren't Weka are selling proprietary hardware. They may say that they sell software, but in fact, if your software can only run on one or two specific boxes, it's not really software. It's really a software if it's hardware independent. Being a hardware-based software storage company still limits how you can go to market. And back in 2011, we already identified that if this is what you're going to do, you're not going to run well on the cloud. And if you're looking at our competitors, many of them have products that have very similar names to what they're selling on-prem, but they're not actually the same product that they run on the cloud as what they're selling on-prem. And even when you're looking at their cloud products, they're not selling the same product across the different clouds. And these hardware-led software storage companies, even when they do have cloud products, they end up being different than their on-premises product. And even worse, some of our competitors have a cloud product on the different clouds, and they don't run the same product on all the clouds. So between the different clouds, you're having different functionality, different abilities. They don't integrate. It doesn't work well. This is something that back in 2011, we identified as a big problem and said, hey, if this is how things run, we don't want to do them. The other big problem we had back in 2011, it was the heyday of storage becoming more and more and more diverse and more fragmented. You know, when you had customers and they were buying data management, data storage back in the 70s and the 80s, they were likely to buy IBM. Right. In the 90s, customers were likely to buy EMC. When we came up with XEV, there were a few large companies, but still, XEV and 3PAR were like the two newcomers. But then what has happened with NetApp going after unstructured and Isilon becoming, and none of the enterprise-grade storage solution scaling capacity or performance, the market was getting fragmented into big data initially and the data lakes later and the data warehouses. And there are tons of what basically are niche products. So there are dozens of storage products today, and each one of them only carries a few percentages of the market share, which was a problem. So across these two issues, hey, you can say you're software, but you depend on the hardware, you're not hardware agnostic, and the storage and the data management landscape is fragmented into tons of little vendors. We said we wanted out. Then a couple years later, three major things happened, new technologies really emerged. One was NVMe storage, which was the way of connecting flash to PCI. Mm-hmm. And there've been the good example of Fusion IO, Virident, Violin, TMS, showing it's a reasonable thing to do. And then NVMe came as a standard. The second major thing that happened is fast networking at 100 gig. And now we have customers running at 200 gig and 400 gig, and containerized technologies arrived. And we basically came together, a lot of old storage folks, and said, hey, we can take these ingredients. We can look at what the market is needing. And we're going to come up with a completely new, novel way of solving data management. And short 9 years later, we're here.
So I think Josh and I both came from those hardware vendors you're talking about that brought their software to the hardware and then kind of twisted them and put them into yoga positions to put them up in the cloud. And, you know, it's been amazing being here, being able to install Weka on everything from a white box, you know, random Intel box to Cisco to a Supermicro, Dell, HP, basically anything that we can get our hands on. If it's got a CPU, a backplane, a network card, and some NVMe, we can usually make it work pretty easily.
Well, yeah, don't forget the cloud providers as well. So long as there's a network that we can use that can combine together those processors and memory and NVMe, it's remarkable what we're capable of doing.
Yeah, we've installed an AWS, Oracle, Google, I've tried Azure. I hear we're doing that now, but I haven't had any time to test it myself. So it's kind of fun to see, you know, how we keep expanding further and further out.
Yeah, bringing truth to the whole promise of software-defined storage, like especially when it's, you know, programmatically deployed in cloud environments where literally everything is in code.
The hyper-hypervisors.
Hyper-hypervisors. That's a good word for it. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the big lesson we actually learned at IBM is, in order to be a good software storage, you just need to make sure you don't care what the hardware is doing. Because if you rely on the hardware to fit some parameters, you may call yourself software, and everyone calls themselves software, but you cannot be leveraged on different kind of hardware. And you'd be stuck to a very rigorous manufacturing process, and you're going to weed out components that aren't the same. And, you know, we're now going to market through pretty much all the on-premises server vendors. We're going to market through all the major cloud providers. We can do it because we came up with novel new algorithms, data structures, control structures, network protocols that all the main idea behind them is making sure we can use hardware that almost works. And a bunch of hardware boxes that almost works gets you a very, very good system altogether.
Well, yesterday I was working with one of our other guys. He was playing with a GPU box with a partner of ours that had eight GPUs in it, four network cards, and six drives. And we actually got Weka running on that single system. So we had six containers all working together. Actually seven, because we had one just for the front ends. And we did 24 gigabytes a second of reads off that box. You know, and I think we can get more if we played a little more with the NUMAs, but 24 is pretty reasonable for six drives. We
think gigabyte per SSD. That's not bad on the reads.
Yep. And it's way more than what the operating system would have done by itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And the data is still protected. That's really what got me was that, okay, we're doing this all in a single box, and the data is still protected. So if we were to do that using conventional methods, you'd be probably doing a software raid of the NVMe. You'd be still consuming quite a bit of CPU in order to do that sort of calculation of the parity. And realistically, you'd probably want to do it in a RAID 1 because trying to do like a RAID 5 or RAID 6 in there would really probably just be a terrible idea. So you'd want to make it simple, make it RAID 1, make it RAID 10, and your performance would be nowhere near what we were delivering.
And we did it was a 4 plus 2 plus spare. So we were able to still get protection of double failure and still continue running.
Oh, yeah.
So I was pretty happy. I think that was a good numbers to show off of a single server running, just the network by itself. And it was fun because we got to play with NUMAs and multiple containers across multiple NUMA regions and it's fun to be able to experiment like that with the software.
Yeah, and we've put a lot of effort to make sure the software is going to stretch. So on the one extreme, you have a single GPU box that runs a full-fledged Weka at 24 gigs a second. On the other end, I think Josh helped Oracle run a much, much bigger system. And even with the cloud, where each component, each instance gets you less performance, we're able to get 2 terabytes a second. Yep. So with the exact same binary, exact same software, same tools. So this is like the ultimate proof that you don't need to buy these niche storage products anymore. You can switch to Weka, and it's really going to stretch across pretty much any practical use case.
Well, I remember when the first Gen 4 boxes started coming out. We were running Gen 3 in our lab, so I was playing with all the Gen 3 we had in there. We saw the performance, and somebody said, hey, we got these Gen 4 boxes we want you to install on. So I went ahead and installed. And no difference to the code, all of a sudden I'm doing almost twice as much per core in performance for everything. It was just unbelievable.
So yep. Just worked.
Yeah, just worked.
Rumor has it, Gen 5's coming end of the year. So
can't get already. My hands on those.
Already,
The acceleration's going fast because, we were at 1 gig forever and then went to 10 gig for so long and then 40 kind of, all of a sudden we're at 100 and 200. And 400, I think we just did a design with 400 gigabit networking, and now we're talking about Gen 5. So it's a wild time, man.
Yeah, it feels like literally Gen 4 just came out last year, right? Actually into product.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what has happened in the industry, Gen 3 was pushed a little bit too much until it was somewhat long in the tooth. And then the industry made the right choice and jumped to Gen 5 when it made sense, but it basically meant that Gen 4 was in the market for a shorter period of time. And Gen 5 is going to have a native support for 400 gig. Because currently you can run 400 gig with 2 Dota cards of twice 16 lanes of Gen 4, but with Gen 5 you have a single NIC, the single PCI card with 16 lanes of Gen 5. So you can have an Intel or AMD boxes both are gonna support single CPU quite well. So uniprocessor, they're gonna have a single NIC or two NICs for 400 gig, a bunch of Gen 5 NVMe devices that they're going to give you twice of your 4 gig a second. So you should expect about 8 gig from a single NVMe device. The amount of density that you're going to get from these boxes is going to be incredible.
It's going to be nuts. I can't wait. This is half the fun is getting to play with this stuff. And luckily our partners, you know, give us a shot to play with it because we can push them to their edges. So it's fun to see.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, each time this kind of new generation comes in, it's going to make our value prop more pronounced. Because each time this new generation comes, Weka is going to become twice as fast, while the competition, as you know, doesn't actually get twice as fast with each new PCI generation. So the gap that we open is just going to be opened more and more and more, and we're going to have a bigger differentiation compared to anything out there.
Cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. So moving into PCI Gen 5, looking into the future in general, what are kind of your thoughts about the future development of Weka? Where is Weka going into the future?
So, the real big secrets I'm not going to say on the podcast.
Dang it.
Almost.
We almost got Shimon too.
But no, on a very high level, because we have some very, very exciting plans, but unfortunately, you may have heard them on some internal calls. I'm not going to share them with the whole internet. Obviously, the whole internet hears us. But things our customers know are coming. We're going to spend a lot more energy on becoming better in the cloud, adding more clouds, providing more value for the cloud use cases. We're going to spend more energy on making sure that we're stretching systems between two different clouds, between two different regions, between on-prem and a single cloud, or two different clouds for helping customers second source their hybrid cloud. We're going to make these basically seamless. So you're going to get a single stretch namespace across all. We're going to go higher up and provide better metadata services. We're going to make sure that you can run more and more of the higher end analytics use cases on Weka better than any other storage. So once you've stored something on Weka, it becomes more and more useful to as many use cases as the customer actually requires.
So how do we decide, from like an engineering standpoint, how do we decide what features are kind of being worked on, or what's going to come out? Is it just a, you know, somebody sends out an email survey and asks a general question as to what people want to see, or do we have a more kind of nuanced approach?
So we have, by the way, you should also have Nilesh over, our chief product officer, and he could fill up an hour with his methodology, and he's great. We have high level three different kind of buckets where we're putting our innovation. One, some specific customer pain points. So if we have existing customers and they have something that they're trying to do with Weka or trying to migrate and they don't run well, we would like to go and make sure we're providing the best service to our existing customers. Two is ideas that our existing customers tell us, hey, we would have liked to do with the worker or without the worker, and we find it difficult. It's a struggle for us, and then we can help our customers go and solve problems that they would like to solve, but it's difficult for them. Talking about stretching the namespace between on-premises and a couple of clouds or several regions on clouds or the different clouds, it's something that currently no one provides, but it's a highly sought after feature. So many customers have asked for. And three, the third bucket is things that we know that are valuable, but customers may not ask because they don't think it makes sense for a worker or it's not high on their priority list. So in our current fourth generation, we've announced data reduction. This is a functionality we believe is going to be very valuable. It's going to increase the usability of Weka with a lot of customers. This is not something that many customers asked for, but this is something that we've identified that is really going to help them achieve more. So these are the three big buckets. We're looking at them, and between each of our releases, we're trying to find a good mix between pain points, customer growth, and general, you know, reasonable innovation that we think is going to drive more value to our customers. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's a great methodology of determining how to go to get, develop the next generation of features. So yeah, we definitely want to have Nilesh on. So that's on our wish list. We're just trying to get the scheduling. We did get Galinsky on talking about, you know, customers and how they're rolling out and the support features that we have, which is always nice to see, and the happy customers and keeping us moving forward as far as that's concerned. I think we do Absolutely. Need to do a little better job of collecting data ourselves on what features we need, because, you know, sometimes people don't know what they needed and they might say something in a call and we have to pop that into our list a little easier. That, you know, it might not seem like a feature, but it is, and we should be thinking about it that way.
Yeah, it's true. Somebody's talking about, you know, a workflow that they have or a pain point that they don't necessarily even describe as a pain point, but just something that, you know, it gets mentioned and maybe mentioned more than once, that, you know, sounds like it could actually be something that could be turned into a feature and a function that would make life easier for everybody.
Go ahead.
I cherish my customer meetings. So we've started Weka to make customers happy. You know, you hear me each time I address the company, I say at least once, hey, happy customers bring more happy customers. And the most important thing for a product-led company like Weka is to make sure our customers are ecstatically happy about what we're doing and about the future and what they could be doing with Weka in the years to come. And each time I go and I try to visit customers as much as I can, don't think I could actually see more customers with my schedule. And each time I'm there, I'm trying to solicit, hey, what, I understand you're happy, but what do you don't like? How could we make it better for you? And I'm getting a lot from meeting our customers. And I, many times after I visit a customer, I write some summary, I send it to engineering, I send it to product. So I think every Weka employee that interacts with customers should do this kind of a write-up after the engagement and figure out what the customer is looking for and how we can make them happier.
So if you could wave a magic wand and, you know, and make it easier for us to work with somebody or something, is there like a, you know, a feature or a product out there or some sort of technology or partner you'd like to be closer with or work more with than we are today?
That's a deep question.
That's a deep question. So I think we should spend more energy on coming out to market with the different clouds. I think specifically around, you know, data reduction, multi-protocol, these kind of abilities, these are things that are just impossible to do with anyone else out there. And I have a strong hunch that we can do a slightly better job of presenting our cloud value prop. And it doesn't matter whether it's AWS or Google or Azure or Oracle or the other clouds. And if we go towards that direction, we could actually approach and help a lot more of the enterprise customers out there.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, we've been getting a lot of props from the customers we've spoken to about the cloud that we're, clouds we're going into and working with now. So it's been nice to see, you know, we knew that was possible and we had to overcome some hurdles that were technology based on the cloud's choices of drivers and networking and whatnot. And we've gotten past a lot of that. And, you know, obviously we must have because we got to 2 terabytes a second and now, you know, are deploying in 3 clouds at a time. We've got customers in all 3, which is fantastic. Yep. And now we're going for a 4th. In such a short amount of time with such a small company, I think we've done a fantastic job of building something amazing. So 3 years from just Amazon and Gen 3 to now we're looking at Gen 5 and 4 clouds. It's an amazing run for my little time here.
Absolutely.
So I guess kind of going back, I mean, is there anything you want to talk about how, you know, we talked about Weka came together because we had networks, we had flash, we had the new computes, we got the AI workloads coming in and cloud becoming important. Is there, you know, anything else that you can think of that popped in your head about, you know, why Weka? How do we get here? What was it, you know, compelling after your stint at IBM and all the storage you did and not wanting to do storage? What was the cool factor of this field that kind of brought you back?
Brought you back, sucked you back in.
What we've done at Weka to make sure that we can run on the cloud, on the different kind of server vendor hardware is basically change the approach that we're taking to implementing storage and the storage algorithm. So pretty much any other storage vendor has the concept of sharding the data to the different boxes that optimize for locality. And in this system, which is like 100% of the solutions out there, once a file system was created, or once a directory was created, all the follow-on IOs will end up with a server or the metadata server or whatever that owns that file system or directory. And it means that if at some point all the clients are accessing these files or that directory or this file system, you may have 100 servers or instances or whatever that storage solution, you're only leveraging a very small portion of it. What we've done at Weka is actually we've taken a completely different approach, and we're looking at how many devices we have in the system, how many NVMe devices, how many network devices, how many cores we have. And then we're load balancing everything, all the IOs, all the metadata across all the devices, and we're optimizing for low queue depth and for low latency. We're actually optimizing for both. And this means that we can use whatever hardware on the cloud because, you know, even if you're running on the cloud and there is a noisy neighbor, we're just going to do slightly less work with that instance. But if you have
amazing,
yeah,
we've seen it. I mean, it's nice to kind of understand a little better from this explanation of how it works. I mean, Josh and I've seen it. Kind of felt like we're doing balancing and full balancing and a good idea of what it was doing, but I've never heard it explained that way. So thank you.
Yeah, but think about it. We're the only storage that supports auto scaling group on the cloud. But you know, you start with a system of one size, you get that level of performance. You'll double it, you'll get twice performance, double it again, you'll get 4 times the performance. Now, any other storage system you've expanded will never shrink because some data landed somewhere. But and that's the reason no one expands cloud storage, because now you're going to pay the bigger size forever and ever. It's too expensive. So people just buy something that's reasonable and stick with it. But with the Weka, you can now shrink to the original double, so half of where your peak was, and you'll just pay for the half, and it's still okay. And if this is too much performance for you, you can shrink to the original size. Because we don't have locality, because we don't care where originally the data happened to land, and now it's the fate of that piece of directory or whatever, we can grow the system, we could shrink the system, and we're able to leverage 100% of the hardware resource that we have. This is a fundamentally different way of thinking about storage. I think most customers don't realize it's available and possible, and they're still stuck in their old way storage thinking. But once we've realized you can build such a system with fast networking and NVMe, it was obvious we have to come back and build it, because you just create something that is, you know, orders of magnitude better than anything else in the market.
It was destined to be.
That's an interesting, interesting story and background behind it.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you. We don't want to, you know, take up any more time. I know you got a bunch of meetings today and every day. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And we'll look forward to many more of these conversations in the future. So for Cluster Conversations, I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
And have a great one. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you next
time. Yeah, thank you very much.